Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Happy game six and draft day across the Delaware Valley. What a day, man. I don't think I'll be able to keep it together for 4 hours because this is a monumental day in Philadelphia. It's one of these great sports days in Philadelphia where we have game six, Sixers and Toronto. I can't believe it's a game six, but there is a game six, and that's okay. All right, we'll get into it in just a moment and I'll give you the early feel. But the day begins with a little Phillies baseball. The bats have been out. All right, it's a good sign, good omen, because we are a streaky city. All right, a very streaky city. One, you can see when one goes well, they start to all go well. One goes bad, all goes bad. Right? I got a feeling the Phillies bats will equal a Sixers win a game six and an Eagles to ace the first round. But it's a great day because we got the Phils at one and then the Sixers at seven and then the NFL draft first round and the Eagles with two picks. It's going to be incredible. It's one of those days, man, those great, great sports days that I just, like, this is what we live for. This is what we live for. We love this stuff, and I got lots of thoughts. But let's start off with game six. I feel good. Straight up, I feel good. Now, I don't know what's going to happen thereafter. I think they win the game tonight. I think they win, and I think it's pretty handily, where it's not a sweat in the final few minutes. I'm not saying blowout, but I think it's going to be comfortable at the end where you're going to feel decent about it. It's probably going to start off, and you can well imagine, the crowd's going to be into it. I did Toronto radio this morning, the flagship station for the Raptors, and, you know, they're just all giddy. They're all hyped up as well. They should, right? They're coming back, and they're thinking, you know, they're going to go force a game seven and then come back from the 3-0 deficit. I'll say it, and I'm going to go back to, we saw a very flat team on Monday night, a real flat team. Now, there's a couple reasons why. One, if you look at the how they kind of, if you watch the Raptors give them trouble with that length, and I really think that they looked at it and they thought they had the game won without Van Vliet, that this is going to be a closeout game. And I thought they didn't play hard enough defense. I thought they didn't hit the boards. I just thought they were not focused. And I know that the big lineup kind of caught them a little bit. It certainly bothered Maxey. But I don't think I don't think that happens again. I think tonight what you're going to see is they're going to move the ball more. There's going to be more of a flow offensively. You're going to see them play with a focus, a desperation. You're going to see Joel and B play. I think I have a dominant performance down low at times. He still has to handle the ball. He still has to pass. He still has a bad thumb. But I think for tonight, you're going to see them say, all right, look, if you're going to guard us with this lineup, and we got to put the big man down low. I think they'll probably pack it in. They'll probably have Tobias kind of packed in. I mean, listen, I gotta believe that Harden has just a better game. I mean, I don't know what, there could be a cap on what he could do, but I do believe that it's more Raptors. Like I just don't think the Raptors are very good without Van Vliet. I think when you look at that team, they relied so much on dribble penetration and attacking the lane. I think, you know, Doc does the obvious and he shuts down the lane, and he forces them to shoot the ball from the perimeter. Like, Gary Trent's a nice player, but he's not Reggie Miller. He's not Steph Curry. So I think we kind of overrate that. And then you look at Siakam, who played terrific, but again, he's not Garnett. I mean, there is a limit to who they are. It's the same team that the Sixers blew out in games one and games two. And again, I'm not saying it's a blowout. I'm not saying that they're going to go and, you know, they're going to go on the title run. But I think they win the game tonight. I think they win the game. They win the series, and then it's on to Miami, and then, you know, we'll worry about that whole thing then. But I want to suss it out. I'm feeling good. I want to get some good vibes going. But look, I want to be realistic too. If you feel a certain way, I don't need you to placate me. You tell me how you feel is how you feel. So I don't need you to placate me. I do feel like they're going to win the game. And I get more of a product of who the Raptors are than that the Sixers are a title team right now. I said it before the series, and I'll stick to it. James Harden has to be a huge weapon. He's got to be a weapon that you can count on, that can score, not just facilitate and play the point. He's got to hit open shots. If they're going to make any kind of run to the championship, he's got to do that. And then you got, when you look at this whole thing, Doc Rivers, the specter of him yesterday, it was not a good look for Doc. And quite frankly, no matter what happens short of that championship run, I don't think he's back next year. I don't think so at all. He's back. My guess is he'll be with the Lakers next year. That's where he'd rather be, and that's my belief. Now, we'll see if it plays out, but that's what I'm thinking. All right, we want to get into that. We obviously are going to get well into the NFL draft. I cannot wait to see how this thing plays out. So it appears that the quarterbacks will not be run. But now, hear me out for a second, because we've heard the run on quarterbacks won't happen, or it won't happen until the middle of the first round. It could still happen at the turn at some point, 11, 12, 13, 14, before the Eagles pick. There still could be some sort of run. Now, I don't think Sauce Gardner is going to be there for in the 9, 10, 11 range where the Eagles can trade up and get him. But I believe they're going to go after a cornerback. I think Davis is legitimate. And I think they're going to go defense. I think that's how they're going to look. Now, the wild cards are, if Hamilton falls, now we'll see. We hear that they're not in love with Hamilton. We'll see about that. I don't know about that. That comes from the Hamilton camp. That could be Howie playing possum, because he's a legitimate playmaker. If he's available to go and leap up a few spots, I do that. I want a corner. Got a pair slay with a corner. I think Howie's praying for a corner. And then we'll see if that second pick, if they trade, because I think in a perfect world, they like to trade back and then get a receiver, where you still are going to look to try to value that second pick. That second pick's valuable because you're in front of the Saints and the Steelers. So anybody that's looking for a quarterback, you should be able to parlay that pick. I think Howie's already kind of perched for that. I'd be surprised if they stayed pat and took both picks, 15 and 18. I think one of those, Tommy, I think one of those is a, I think one of those things is a trade. We are live at Chickies and Pete's, and of course, the great Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, Tommy Cherokee, one of the greats. He just came out to greet me from the kitchen. Look, you never change, Tommy. Never change. I hope to see the crab later on. It'll be ready. You know, come on, man. It'll be fantastic. This is a great hub. Phillies baseball today. Sixers game 6 and the NFL draft. You want to be at Chickies and Pete's today. That's it. You got a TV for everyone, Tommy said. That's it. Absolutely. There you go, brother. Speaking of Tommy's, I got Tommy with me. Hello, Tommy.
What's going on, Ant? How are you, man?
Are you ready?
I'm ready, man. I'm excited.
It's a big day.
It is a huge
day. Dylan, play the song. Dylan. Thank you. Sorry, Tommy.
How do you get that out?
I may I may fall into that during the course of the show.
Just hits you randomly like that?
Yeah.
Maybe in the middle of a sentence.
It's game 6 o'clock. Come on, man.
This is...
I need this today.
This is the day, the kind of sports day that makes you excited and proud to be a Philadelphia sports fan. We got, obviously, Phillies Day Baseball. They've won 3 in a row. The bats have finally come alive. We have draft day. It is finally here. What is Howie Roseman going to do? Move up, move back, trade picks for next year. I'm so excited to see how it falls down. And then, obviously, game 6 of the first round against the Toronto Raptors. And I'll be honest, Dan, I'm relatively confident, but I'm not all the way there yet. I still have a little bit of nerves going into this game 6.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you should. That's natural. Everybody's going to have nerves. I just look at it from a standpoint. I don't think the Raptors are that good. Without VanVleet, they're bagged up. This, and I know that weird lineup where everybody's between 6'4 and 6'8, and I know that had success in game 5. I still think that was from a lackluster Sixers performance.
Yeah, and obviously, like you said, gave Maxey a little bit of issues. It seemed like they were just able to get anything they wanted when VanVleet was on the floor. Doubtful for tonight, but yeah, I mean, the Sixers should win this game. The Sixers are a better team. I just look back at it, and I was saying the same thing before game 5. Now,
yeah,
maybe they caught them off guard.
I don't think it's off guard. Tommy, I think that they came in smelling themselves. I think they came in thinking they had already closed out the series. Again, VanVleet was out, and they played. Did you see any energy Monday night?
None.
Right? Did you see any urgency?
Zero.
None, right?
Yeah.
They got beat on the boards. They did not execute their offense well.
Raptors could get whatever they wanted offensively.
They didn't defend well. They didn't stop dribble penetration from up top. I'm telling you, tonight, they come out to play. Listen, if there's a game 7, they're done.
They don't have a chance.
They don't win.
And you have to get it done tonight. You have to have the mindset where tonight is game 7. Go in and win this game no matter what.
And how many times have you seen, look at these playoffs. If you pay attention to the playoffs, you see the wild swings from certain games.
Sure, absolutely.
Right? You saw New Orleans pound Phoenix. It didn't mean that Phoenix was going to lose the series even without Devin Booker.
The Bulls won the first game in that Milwaukee series. Milwaukee wins 4 straight afterwards without Chris Middleton.
And that's what I'm telling you. Tonight's got Sixers. Tonight's Sixer. I feel it in my bones. Now, again, I'm not going to be pumping my chest for the Heat series because But I heard Bobby today, man. Bob was grave. Bob had that 98-95 Raptors. I don't say it.
He sounded a little sad there.
If they lose this game, I honestly, first of all, there's no way they win a game 7. And Doc Rivers ought to leave now. He ought to go to L.A. now. Just go from Toronto to LAX, because there's no way in the world that if he was testy yesterday.
Yes, he was. A little moody yesterday, Doc Rivers.
Dude, that's a real deal. You could scoff and you could snipe all you want at critics or whatever, but there is something there. We watched you blow the series last year, and here's the thing. You looked at Doc, and you looked at his body language in Game 7 on Father's Day, slumped in his chair, no answers. Look, I'm not telling you that... he didn't have his issues. He had to deal with Simmons running away from the ball. I mean, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that he had to deal with. But that doesn't mean you play Shake Milton after you didn't play him all game long and you start the fourth quarter with him. That makes no sense.
Yeah, and there's the reason that those questions are asked. Those questions are warranted, and there's a reason those questions are being asked about Doc Rivers when it comes to the blowing leads. And I guess, he's just trying to defend his name, and that's the reason he gets snippy. But that's just part of the reason why I worry a little bit about tonight is how are they going to look when things get tight or when things aren't going their way, when the offense isn't moving? Are they going to get tight and fold? Or are they going to do what Danny Green said and nut up and, weather the storm and get over that hump? But like I said, I'm starting to lean that I am confident and that they are going to win this game because they have to win this game. Because if it goes back to Philly, they are not winning a game 7.
It's urgency, man.
Exactly.
Tommy, they're going to win, Tom. Now, let me ask you, Giraffe. Let's talk about this for a second. So, I think I can't wait for this thing. It's going to be such an interesting one. in that you don't, you still don't know what impact the quarterbacks will have. And because it's not as top heavy, it's deep. The NFL Network was talking about how there was, there were 18 first round grades, which obviously the quarterbacks are not first round grades. Where will they go? Who's going to take the quarterbacks? How will that impact the draft? What about the receivers? What about the corners? There's three offensive linemen early that are going to go. It's going to be so interesting, and I think there's going to be some movement. I know I heard people say, well, there are a lot of trades before the draft. I think you're going to see a lot more trades tonight.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I'm just excited to have to see how it all goes down and see what happens. We, you know, we've seen countless mocks, heard countless rumors. Tonight is finally the night. And I think the quarterback thing is important in two ways. One, they could go early, but if they don't go early, could a team potentially want to trade up if they start to fall with the Eagles at 15 and 18? Obviously, maybe Howie moves back and can get some picks for maybe this
year.
Yeah,
and I think that's 18 because of you're going to be picking in front of Pittsburgh, yep, in front of New Orleans. And that makes sense for one of those quarterbacks.
Yes, yeah, so that's just something to keep an eye on all draft. And I think the offensive lineman could potentially have an early run, which could push back some of these better defensive players. I mean, there's a chance.
Stingley is the guy that I think you could have a shot at. Yeah. I don't think you have a shot at Sauce.
Sauce is probably top five at this point.
And you probably don't have a chance at Stingley, but he may drift.
I mean, there's rumors of guys like, obviously, Stingley, Hamilton, and even Thibodeau falling around that 10 area or out of the top 10. But Stingley is a guy that I have my eye on if you have a chance to get him. I mean, this is a guy who's been top three, top five all year when it comes to mock drafts. And now that we're getting, you know, towards the actual draft, obviously, tonight, it seems like he's slipping a little bit. He has, like, a guy like a shutdown corner written all over him. Yeah, there's a little bit of worry with the lack of playing time. Obviously, hasn't played a full season since 2019, but the talent's there. The kid's only 20 years old. If you can get him, find a way to get him.
Dude, listen, if not Sauce, then Stingley.
Agreed.
And if not Stingley, then Hamilton.
Yeah.
That's my wish.
I'm totally on board.
I mean, I like
that.
Davis, but I want those other three. I think you need secondary help bad. This secondary has been bad for a while now. They got to fix the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, who is your number two corner on the outside? Zach McPherson at this point?
Well, and he knows that. I mean, listen, sure. Howie knows that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
You know, listen, you know, today he's praying to the draft gods. Today's all about the draft gods. And you hope that the board falls the way it'll benefit you.
I'll say a prayer too. I'll cross my hands. Let's do it.
Listen, later on we will lead a prayer to the draft gods and the game six gods.
All
too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure, absolutely.
Because there's two. I don't know. Here's what's going on in my mind right now. I look at the clock, and I'm going, it's 10:18. And I can't wait until 7 o'clock. Like, I can't. With those two gigantic things, this is why we love it, right? This is why we love sports, because these are two momentous occasions, and you get a nice appetizer with the fightings.
This is what being a fan is all about, enjoying these big moments like this. I mean, the draft is one of the most exciting times of the year, you know, especially with the Eagles having two picks and all the movement that could happen, and then you throw in a potentially series-ending game. Yeah. The time's going to move like molasses today. And
yeah,
it really feels
I know. Like, I know. Like, I needed to. I needed to speed up, all right? I need it. Is Dylan ready back there? Is he all right? Does he have the button? Is he ready to play this song? He's good spirits?
I think so. I worry about it sometimes, but I think so.
Yeah, I worry about you. You came in, and you were like a little, you know.
Just a little nervous, that's all.
You are nervous. Okay. I heard Bob's nervous. I get it.
I need to be talked into, I guess.
No worries, man. Well, we got you covered all day long. In fact, here's what we're going to do today. Jeff McClain is going to join us at 11:30. You know, Jeff covers the Birds for the Inquirer, regular on the show. We'll talk to Jeff at 11:30. We'll talk to Devon at 12. We'll see how he's feeling. You were with Devon last night.
Yes.
And he still is not, what, ready?
Yeah, I asked him, you know, even before our show started, I'm like, Devon, what are you feeling for the game tomorrow and the series in general? He's like, I got nothing yet, man. He's like, I still haven't made up my mind about this game. And I'm like, that's fine. You really don't have to until, you know, tomorrow.
Well, we'll chop it up.
But we'll get him out of it today,
I think. We'll chop it up with Devon at 12. Andre Odom, a good dear friend of mine, who is a big-time NFL agent. He used to work for the Bears. He was a regular on the Meat Locker with me, Baldy, and Vi. Dre is, in fact, Devin Lloyd's agent, Micah Parsons' agent. I mean, he's a Temple man, North Philadelphia, and he's a big-time agent. He's going to join us at 12:30 to go over the draft. And the Geek, you know, the Geek is our fantasy football expert, our betting draft expert. He's going to join us to give us game six picks, bets, and draft bets. So we're going to do that as well. And we're loving it, man. Today's a fun day. Just hang with us. Let's talk about it. Let's see how you feel. Looking about Sixers and draft, I want to talk about it all. We're live at Chickies and Pete's, South Philadelphia. I love this Chickies and Pete's, man. Getting ready for a little Phillies baseball. Mikey Miss and the General and Jen will be here as well at 2 o'clock. So come hang out. Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. We love it. Hey, speaking of bets, there's no better bets than the Bet Parks app, the official presenting sponsor of the 2022 Sixers playoffs. What a great odds boost they got going on for tonight's game six. For all customers, boosted odds of plus 760 on the following. The Sixers, they hit over 15 threes in tonight's game. They hit over 15 threes, you get plus 760. All right, check that out. Good pizza bet, max bet, $10. Website's got the terms and conditions, and that's for all customers. Go to betparks.com or go right to the BetParks app for this odds boost. Sixers to hit over 15 threes for tonight's game. No promo code, none of that required. BetParks is where the odds, bets, slots, and games all come together right in your pocket. Got to be 21 in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
For the Sixers game six and of course the NFL draft, joining us right now, he does such a great job on top of it all the time, covering the birds for the Inquirer and Inquirer.com. Let's chop it up. Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline. Happy draft day, my brother.
Happy draft day, Anthony. What's up?
I love the draft. There's something, I don't know what it is about it. Do you get geeked up over it? I mean, you covered a million of them.
Yeah, I like the draft a lot. I just don't enjoy a lot of the pre-draft stuff that's basically 95% speculation.
Lies, yeah. Yeah, all the pre-draft stuff is all nonsense because everybody's trying to throw you off the scent. So let's dive into it. First of all, let's tackle birds. What do you think? Do you think they stay put? You think they trade out at least the second pick? You think, where's your mind at?
Yeah, you know, with the Eagles, I don't think you can rule anything out based upon history and what we know about Howie Roseman and how he's willing to move around. They have two first-round picks, which gives them, and also 10 picks overall, which gives them some ability to hop around if they want to move up, if they want to move back. You know, a lot of it's going to depend upon how those first 14 picks go, and maybe even a little more before that in terms of whether they want to move up into the top six and get one of those elite caliber type prospects. I think a lot of it also will depend upon how the quarterbacks go. I sense that they're not going to go high. It's going to be more maybe later in the first round, which then I think would force the Eagles, or not force, but maybe compel the Eagles to move up, make a little bit of a mini leap for a guy that they have targeted. We've seen Howie do that well over his career as GM. Especially in the first round, move up a little bit to get Fletcher Cox, move up a little bit to get Devontae Smith. Those were obviously big step panned out for them. So as we, you know, I think maybe we spoke about this before. I think Jordan Davis is a guy that they love, that they'd be willing to move up a little bit to get, to hop a team like the Ravens that you would think would be inclined to draft someone like him. He fits the mold of what the Ravens like. I think that Jameson Williams is certainly someone that they would be compelled to move up for. Kyle Hamilton, if he drops, the safety, although, they've never dropped, or Howie's never drafted a safety in the first round, only one in the history of the team. That's not something that they're typically inclined to do.
Yeah, I don't think Kyle, I'll just interject one thing. I don't think Kyle Hamilton would be a fit for them.
Well,
need the position.
Yeah, I mean, I look, if you think that he's a difference maker and he's this elite guy, et cetera, then you're kind of willing to draft the safety in the first round. My issue is I just know how they think down there, and I just know the analytics behind drafting a safety and having him expending that kind of value on that position. And then you look at Gannon's scheme and whether it's something that that they would want to do. I mean, they play their safety deep. They play a lot of cover two. Do you want? Are you really kind of getting a lot of value out of that position? I think safety is a position they're going to address in this draft. I think it's more likely day two than it would be day one.
I'm completely with you. Because I did hear from some NFL people that Kyle Hamilton's, I mean, obviously the speed isn't what it was. Like, that was all kind of messed up. That where they thought he was like this Superman type of thing. He's still fast, but I think there's some question with his lateral movement.
He ran 4.59 at the 40, and yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, he's a big kid. He's 6'4". I mean, I could conceivably move him to linebacker in the NFL the way that we've seen that increasingly over the years, that teams are converting college safeties in the NFL linebackers, and he has that type of size, and he could run, obviously, with tight ends. I think Jermaine Johnson is another guy that if he happens to fall, that they'd be interested in, certainly an edge rusher, and we know how they feel about drafting those in over the last 10 years or so. But number one guy, I think, is probably Davis and Williams. And if those guys are there at 15, I think they would have no problem handing in their cards.
Yeah, Jameson Williams would be fascinating because – to pair, forget the Bama connection, but to pair those two, I mean, you're set up for when you get the quarterback next year.
Yeah, all that being said, I mean, is that going to be possible? Are they going to be able to move up? Are they going to,
should be cheaper to move up this year, though.
Right. Are those guys going to be, and what happens if you can't? And then what happens if you're 15, then, all of a sudden have to trade back, and then you're kind of getting into that area where, is this guy a difference maker, or does he even have a first round grade? And you're seeing reports of this. And I've talked to a couple of GMs, and they said they only have like 15 to 16 to 17 first round grades on these guys. And that's why I think, this is my looking at, I've done Eagles only mock drafts, and I've done my own NFL mock draft. And it may not play out this way, but I have Howie making a mini move up in the first round and then feeling comfortable moving back into the second round. Or later in the first round, even if possible, a double move back into the second round, accumulate day two picks, and that's really where I think a lot of the value of this draft is.
Yeah,
and give yourself more outs in terms of finding starters, and maybe even more picks for 2023, so that you can add to your ammunition if you want to get that quarterback.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think we're talking to Jeff McClain, Inquirer.com. I think you're right. I think he's going to wind up. Some of those picks will be transferred to 23 again because I think you need to make sure you have that ammo to get up. The 18 is interesting because you mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about the quarterbacks, but you got New Orleans and Pittsburgh both sitting there 18, 19. You potentially could move back there to someone that wants to leapfrog those teams.
Absolutely. And let's say you move back. Let's say it's one of those teams let's say the Lions at 32 want to move up to get a quarterback. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that would be, as you mentioned, you have New Orleans and Pittsburgh there, and they obviously need quarterbacks. You would allow them to leap. This would allow the the Lions, or maybe even, you know, I had the Falcons moving back into the first round. The Falcons moving back into the first round. And that, let's say the Eagles are 32 or they're 29, if they have a double mat move back, let's say they move, the Chiefs move up for a receiver at 18 or something like that. Then late in the first round, we saw this in 2018 when they traded that 32nd pick to the Ravens, who drafted Lamar Jackson. You have some teams wanting to come in because they want to get that fifth-year option on a quarterback. So the Eagles are, you know, whether they take both first, use first both rounders, you know, obviously could get two quality players, but they're also in a spot where they can move back and still get quality players in the second, third round. Where again, I know fans at home are like, oh, they didn't get two first rounders. Well, a lot of teams are looking at those late, you know, 20 to 50, numbers 20 to 50 of almost like you could throw a blanket over them. There isn't much difference in terms of the quality of them. You could be getting second round caliber guys in the late first round. Do you want to pay that? I don't think so.
Right. No, it's true. Let's talk, because we didn't talk cornerbacks, and I know they, you know, I listen, Sauce has risen like no other, right? Over the last month, Sauce has, you know, looks now, people were talking about the Jets taking him at four, and yeah. I know they loved him, and what's not to love about him? Also, Stingley, I know they like, and I'm curious, if he's there somewhere around, you know, 10, 11, 12, and he may not be, but if he's there around 10, 11, 12, I could see that as a possibility of him trading up to get Stingley.
Yeah, I don't think they're as against drafting a cornerback in the first round as they typically are with safety. Sauce Gardner certainly is probably poised to use in the top five. I think Stingley, maybe in terms of talent, has as much as Gardner, but the last 2 years haven't been as productive as his freshman year. I wouldn't rule out a move up for either of those guys. And then if you don't hit on those guys, you have McDuffie kind of the second tier. And I've seen a lot of people mock McDuffie. I like McDuffie. I think he doesn't have the traits maybe as good as those guys. But
yeah, I'm not in love with him.
Yeah, I he's
nice
not
kid.
Guy
I mean, I just not in love with him.
Right. And then I think, you know, in the second round, whether they have one or two picks in my mock, then you got guys in play like Kira Elam.
Elam is interesting, and you know, listen, Howie loves his Florida guys too, as you know, having gone to Florida, he's very tapped into that university, and you know, I could see Elam beating a guy that they look at in the second round. I agree with that.
Yeah, and Andrew Booth has got some medicals, so maybe he could drop, and maybe you're willing to take a little bit of gamble on him.
I like him, you know, dude. I like Andrew Booth. I like him.
Yeah, the thing with he's had a lot of soft tissue injuries over his career, and I just think that maybe the Eagles think that because they seemingly solved that issue last year, they could bring him in, set him straight in that regard. But I think he's a guy that could drop, and maybe if he drops to 51, that's one you're willing to move on. In my Eagles only mock draft, I have them waiting until not waiting, but just the way the plays out that they're going to take Kobe Bryant from Cincinnati, the other Cincinnati cornerback in the third round.
Yeah, yeah, I do agree. This I think Davis is probably if you had to pick one guy, I think Davis is the guy that you would bet on.
He's been the one guy I've been keyed on. I mean, as much as stuff, seeps out of the NovaCare complex, that's something that I'm pretty confident of what I've heard, that they really like him a lot. Go figure that you love a guy with those type of physical traits. I know there's concern about how much he played at Georgia, some about effort, some about fact that he wasn't on there on every down, but that he was playing within that scheme. He has shown the athleticism and at various times to get after the quarterback, and that's what you're going to need to see for the Eagles to draft him that high, or at least them to feel comfortable taking him at that position. But I think he has that capability, and I think the Eagles think that as much too.
What do you talking to Jeff McClain from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Any other chance, like there's any kind of movement, like, is Andre Dillard on the move? Do you see anything like that happen?
I mean, I know Dillard would probably prefer to move. So if he's not going to have the opportunity here, you know, Howie's not in the business of always making his players happy. Um, he probably wants to. He's probably telling other teams that this is the guy that you know, we value. We put him in the first round. We, you know, we think he can start, et cetera. So he's going to have to get an offer that he likes to package or move Dillard. Again, because tackles are so valuable, and he has shown that he can start in this league. I don't know if he's you know, a regular starter. But certainly I think Dillard, I mean, you know, they haven't picked up the fifth year, or at least the fifth year option for, you know, former first rounder. So they're waiting to see, waiting to do that because of the draft. But, you know, as it goes, sometimes it's just tough to move guys in these situations.
Yeah, I feel you. What are you hearing as far as the quarterbacks, you know, as a whole? I mean, you know, it's funny because I had heard at one point, it was like a month ago, and there was all that disinformation, I think, where they were talking about, oh, the quarterbacks, Malik Willis could go to Detroit, which was never in the case. It's never going to happen. But it is interesting to see where they go, because the whole draft's going to hinge on if and how many quarterbacks go in the first round.
Yeah, and you've seen this before where guys that maybe you heard weren't like top 10 caliber guys end up going in the top 10 because teams figure, oh, if I'm going to take a quarterback in the first round, I might as well just take them, move up and take them now, because they want to leapfrog other quarterback needy teams. And maybe that happens with Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett or Matt Corral. I'm wagering that they're not, that they're going to wait later in the first round, and maybe even some of them slip into the second round, because I just, everything you hear about the evaluation on these guys, and who knows, maybe they end up being better than anyone thought.
Right.
We've seen the quarterback evaluations have been so much better over the last 10 to 15 years, I believe, and there aren't as many misses early on. And I just feel like, just talking to guys around the league, that they have a pretty good handle on what these three are capable of. Willis, as you mentioned, is a little bit of a wild card because of the competition which he's played, and he also represents some upside because of his athleticism and what he has shown, you know, in certain areas like the Senior Bowl, where he got to go up against competition that he wasn't always facing in college. So he's an intriguing prospect, and I think that's why you're not really sure where he may go. But I have him going to the Steelers, number 20.
20. Yeah.
And where do you have Pickett going? What's Pickett? I have Pickett actually going. I haven't gone to the Saints before that, before that, although I've heard the Saints, because that they think they can win now, so they want to expend both their first rounders on guys to help Jameson Winston. But, I don't know if I completely buy it.
Yeah, what are you trying to win now with Jameson? Come on.
Really?
I mean, that's insane.
There's
been a lot of heat on Hal over the last week. Really, over the last 2 weeks, Hal's name has popped up a lot. All of a sudden, he's back up.
Ritter seems to pop up every now and then. Someone's like, oh, maybe in the first round. I don't know. I just see a bunch of quarterbacks, each with kind of fleas, and I just wonder if teams are willing to expend so much on a quarterback that has there's just no blue chippers.
Yeah,
and that's just the way it is. That's
why I think the Eagles are playing it right. You and I have talked before. I think they're playing it right, where you stay with Hurts one more year, and then you go get the guy next year. It's a good class,
and I don't think they're going to put. They're not going to bring in competition, so they're not, I don't think they're in play on any of those top five guys. Maybe Dave three, but I'm predicting they go the whole entire draft without taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see it. So now, where will you be tonight?
Down the NovaCare Complex.
Yeah, so it's back. You know, isn't it strange? That must have been so strange for you when you were covering it from home.
Yeah, 2 years. I mean, obviously strange for the Eagles 2 years ago when they had to do it from various homes. I think it's still going to be a little different down there than what we're used to. But we'll still talk to Howie after drafts. I guess Nick will be out there too. And tonight, I mean, with two first rounders, when was the last time they had that? So that could be really, really, I mean, could be a pretty exciting night for the Eagles and the fans.
What do you think about Sirianni and as far as his role in this whole process?
Nah, I mean he'll give his. I think receivers they're listening to him, and maybe you know obviously on quarterbacks I'll have his say, but I think otherwise, I don't know. I still don't think the coaching staff has, aside from like maybe Jeff Stoutland, maybe Gannon. They're listening to Gannon. I know Kevin Petula is certainly well respected. And same goes with Shane Steichen in terms of quarterbacks. But, again, quarterback is kind of out the window. Certainly receivers and Nick's opinion on that will be valid. You know, and I think they're going to take a receiver maybe within the first two rounds. So Nick's certainly going to have a say on what he thinks about those guys. And, you know, I haven't taken Pickens, George Pickens, in the second round.
Dude, I would love that. If they're able to get Pickens, Pickens is going to be a star, I'm telling you.
Right. I mean, if he didn't
he's
have
got issues, but, you know.
Stuff, and he didn't have the injury, he could probably be a first rounder.
Without a doubt, he'd be.
What's that?
Without a doubt, he'd be a first. He's a first round town all the way.
And he may even go in the first round.
Yeah.
But there are a number of teams that have him off their boards. And I'm not really sure.
Andy could definitely take him.
Right. I think with him, it's like immaturity. Uh-huh. And I just know how the Eagles think about their culture. They probably believe that they can, if it's just immaturity and it's just kind of getting his head on straight, they feel probably they can bring him in, develop him, and you know, get him to play at a certain, to you know, man up and grow and learn how to play and be a professional in the NFL. I could see them thinking that way.
I agree. I'm with you. My brother, great stuff, man. I loved it. Great conversation.
I appreciate it. Enjoy the draft. Thanks,
buddy. It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
In the game 3-1 that Joe hit, they were tight at the end of the game. Let me get my man Devon on here because I got to get D up because we need to figure this thing out. Devon Givens, the great in the post with Devon. What's going on, my brother?
Oh, we really need to figure this one out. Game 6, oh, man.
So, first of all, let's just start. How are you feeling?
I'm still feeling a little indifferent. I don't know. I didn't expect them, obviously, like you didn't, Tom didn't, to be in this position. So here we are, and I don't know how I feel because they, as you just said, they can't play any poorly. You both talked about that, and they did. But we saw them do it in both games 4 and 5 where we are now in a game 6 situation where we're all feeling the way that we are feeling about them and how they have played as of late. We can point out a lot of different things that have gone wrong, why they should have won the series in 5 or 4, however you want to look at it. But just too many things that they have done wrong that has me a little nervous, honestly, about how they played tonight.
I heard you were nervous. In fact, Tommy said you were non-committal last night.
And I'm still non-committal.
Here we are. We are 7 hours from tip, and you're non-committal.
Yeah.
Let me try to sway you.
Please
and
do.
Just because I think they're going to win tonight doesn't mean I'm saying that it's a title run or anything like that. So this is not about, you know, pom-poms or anything like that. I look at this Raptors team, and I listen, Devon, this is not a good team. Without Van Vliet, they're not a good offensive team. They just need to tighten up top. They had too much penetration from up top they allowed. He needs to zone up, pack it in a little more. Joe needs to forget the thumb, be a rim protector. And without Van Vliet, I'll say, go ahead, try to beat me from the perimeter.
Sure. And they did go zone to start off the second quarter.
Yeah, for 3 seconds.
Yeah, for 3 seconds. They did that. They tried that. They went away from it. The transition buckets, of course. And I understand everything you're saying because you're right. Joel needs to protect the rim better. He needs to be better defensively overall. He needs to move his feet much better. In the third quarter, he was terrible. In the second quarter, it was 25-14. Raptors in front there. And that can't happen. How do you only score 14 points in one quarter, to your point, again, against a team like that that doesn't really score the basketball as much as the Sixers do? And, but they did. They got out in transition. The bench was 29-11. The fact that you had everybody contributing something where the Sixers did not. The poor shooting percentage, under 40% once again. It's something that they cannot have quarters like that in right. a game where the scoring is already low. Right? You cannot do that. And the pace has not been good. Transition defense has still not been good as of late. And those are the things that we've talked about over the course of the years and of course of the season and in this series where we said you got to do these things better. It's this really small fundamental thing that they continue to fail at that helps the Raptors gain that confidence.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there's a couple things. And listen, nobody watched more ball than you. And, you know, you see it throughout these series. You know, you have one of these games. And to me, it was clearly they came out having felt like they were going to win the game. They felt like they were going to win the game before 100%. They played the game. And yep. you saw in their energy, you saw it in the way they attacked the glass, they got out-rebounded in the game by three. They didn't bear down defensively. There was a lack of focus. And now, you know, tonight, this is your medal, right? Like, this is about who you are. Like, you're going to go into this, and that building's going to be crazy. They're going to be at you, the whole thing. This is where you got to show up. And I expect them to be focused. I expect them to – I think they're a better team, even with Harden as just a playmaker and not a shot maker. I still think they're just a better team without Van Vliet than the Raptors.
Yeah, they should be. And they are, and they should be. You're absolutely right. And they need to show it. They need to come out right away and get off to a much better start. They were only down 2 after 1, so that wasn't really the problem. It was the second quarter. But they need to maintain that focus throughout the entirety of the game. You can't shift your focus and then think you can just turn it up the way that they did when you give the other team the belief that they can actually beat you, especially when you're down an all-star like they were with Fred VanVleet. So I agree with you 100%. You're not saying anything wrong, of course, with them being the better team, James Harden being the facilitator and still getting guys good looks. Danny Green, you mentioned the shots that he missed. They just simply need to play as a cohesive unit much better and communicate as well, because defensively, that was bad.
It was terrible. Terrible. And then you got to figure out how to play a zone. I mean, stop. I mean, how are you?
Right.
Like, this whole idea that, they're not comfortable playing a zone. Are you kidding me? It's one of the basic defenses. I mean, please.
It was that one point where Tobias Harris got caught a little bit.
Right.
Didn't really know where to react on the zone. They have to be much better in that zone. Because they don't, they have the shooter in Gary Trent. Everyone else, not great shooters. So you can play zone and make them try to beat you that way, especially with Van Vliet out. And while they shoot an okay percentage and everybody can make a jump shot, that zone needs to be able to work because they are not that good in half-court set.
Right. I completely agree. First of all, they didn't even have a point guard, you know?
No.
You're running the offense, which they need to, through Siakam. Which I get. He had a terrific game. I'll never take anything away from Pascal Siakam. But, you know, you can't lose it. You can't lose this team again without a point guard. And the other thing is, I know their length bothered Maxey a little bit. Well, now it's up to Doc and his 50 assistants to figure out a way to get him a little free.
Yeah, and they talked about putting the ball in his hands again a little bit more, allowing him to get going. He talked about, and he said this yesterday when we were at post-practice, He talked about Tyrese Maxey asking him again, how many times have your fingernails touched the backboard? And he said one time at halftime. One time. And that was on a steal and a layup the other way.
Yeah.
That's the only time. And he said that's unacceptable. He needs to be able to get into the painted area, get some of those shots off the glass, you know, floaters, whatever they are, to make sure that he gets some easier looks and use his speed to the advantage. While they have the length as their advantage, he has his speed as his advantage. And they can't keep up with his foot speed and getting to those spots. And he can get them and, you know, pick up a couple of cheap fouls. And the next thing you know, they're in the bonus and you're back at the foul line doing what you're doing. And the other part, too, when we talk about the aggressiveness, the Raptors were the aggressor. And we are used to the Sixers, even with Embiid's injury and James Harden passing the basketball, we're used to them getting somewhere close to 27 to 30 free throw attempts. That was not the case on Monday night. They did not get to the foul line, but only, what was it, 16 for 20, I think it was, they got to the foul line, and they made five more than the Raptors. Can't do that. And the other thing, as always, protect the basketball.
Yeah.
Stop giving them easier opportunities.
Yeah.
They had 20 points again off of the Sixers' mistake. And while the Raptors turned the ball over nine times, the Sixers only had 9 points off of their 9 turnovers. So you have to improve there. The points in the paint, 56 to 36, the Raptors, they would get whatever they wanted. And close, where that was not the case for Philadelphia. So those things have to change in order for them to close this series out tonight, which I hope they do.
Well, I'm curious, because we agree, and I where I feel with this thing. But then I'm curious how it plays out for a second, just to talk about Miami, because listen, if there's a game seven, they're not going to win a game seven. So if it's Sixers in Miami, then it comes back to, all right, well, what state is Harden in? Because that's still a mystery. I mean, the other night, again, they had him beating the corner, and what happened? Right? He couldn't beat his man. He couldn't beat Trent.
Yeah. No, too many times we've seen that. A step slow. And we know it was a step slow, but he's still able to get things and make things happen. But now he's a step slow, it looks, in these last two games, where he's a step slow and then just simply cannot get by or cannot get them on the tip and cannot get them to trail a little bit and get a much better shot. And he has to stop complaining about the fouls. And he's back to doing that again.
Yeah.
And that's not helping, because now they're going the other way and it's a 3-on-2 or a 4-on-3 and or 5-on-4, because he simply has not turned around and gone the other way. He's worried about the foul call. He has to be much better. When we talked about this before the series started, and you know my thing was, superstar is going to win you two, and Embiid has done that. You'll get one from your supporting cast. Maxey did that with his 38. Tobias Harris has been great in the series as a two-way player, and James Harden needs to win you a game. He has two chances. He has not won you that game that I believe he should still be capable of doing. He has another chance tonight to be much better in helping them win this game.
So what's up with Doc? Now, you were there yesterday, and he was snippy again. They're talking about the 3-2, you know, the whole blowing the leads, the 3-1 leads in the history. And, of course, he started to get snippy. I think he's not here next year.
I was defending Doc both on Tuesday and Wednesday during the show, because Tuesday I felt like Monday it wasn't on him as much as it was the players. He's not absolved, but normally, you know, I'll have him very, very high at the top.
Yes.
That's the case on Tuesday. And Wednesday post practice, I didn't mind how, because it wasn't as bad as it sounded just based on the question. Okay, the question was asked. He said what he said, and I'm like, okay, whatever. You know, let's just move on from that one, because to me it meant nothing with them being asked about it. Now, obviously, if it happens again, then that's a totally different thing. There's still two games left to be played, or hopefully one, and he can get this over with, and as he pointed out, and then we'll never have to talk about it again unless it comes up one more time. So I didn't really mind what he said yesterday, like some did, and like it became a big story.
I just thought he sounded, I'll be honest with you, I thought he sounded thin-skinned again.
Well, yeah, but that's who he has been. But based on the thin-skinned answers that he's given over the course of time that he has been here, that was one of the weaker ones for me. that didn't bother me as much as the others.
I just get the sense that all I want to hear is, like, we got this, man. Like, I just want to hear, like, confidence. I don't want an argument, a debate, talking about who he is. I don't want any of that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You feel me on that?
Yeah, and I believe he said that, I think it was pre-shoot-around Monday, where he felt that confident. He was talking about that in that same type of tone that you're asking, just simply talking about how they have a chance to win, that he believes that they're still the better team, and they will win. They just have to tighten up on some things with the energy and the pace and all of these little things that you speak of. A little bit different yesterday, you're right. Before that, though, like, that was one of the last questions. So before
you were there, too.
Else.
Right.
Yeah, so all of the other seven questions that were before that one, he was fine. He was calling the team out, saying it needed to be better. We're still in it. We got to get Tyrese Maxey the ball more. James Harden needs to be more aggressive. He doesn't know why he's not more aggressive. Of course, you wish he had an answer for it, but he doesn't because he can't get in the head of James Harden. But that was the second to last question, if I'm not mistaken, that he was asked. So the whole press conference was fine. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, to me, when it happened, it was like, okay, this was nothing compared to the things that we've heard in the past where I've gotten mad at him for his response to questions.
Right. Yeah. I'm done with nonsense, right? Like, so it's weed time now.
I just hope I brought a little more context to it. And, you know, I'm not a Doc Rivers defender, but I just felt like that was typical 3-1 question.
He gave the answer like he
normally does, and he was fine the other seven questions prior to that one being thrown at him. So I didn't mind it.
I'm telling you one thing. I don't think he's here next year.
Well, first of all, if they lose the series, he's gone on Monday or Tuesday, so that wouldn't even be a problem. But if they don't play well against Miami, to your point, then there's a real good chance that he's out of here and out of here very fast.
Yes. Yeah. I listen, he may wind up in L.A., man. That Laker thing may happen.
He likes L.A. He likes the golf. He loves being out there. He still has his home out there, and that wouldn't surprise me one bit if he did, in fact, return to Los Angeles and coach that Lakers team.
All right, my brother, listen, I want you to feel good tonight, all right, because they're going to win.
I'm trying. You know, I'm doing my notes and all that stuff. I'm looking at them. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
They're going to win, Devon. They're going to win, buddy.
Oh, man. You excited about the draft, huh? How's Chickie's looking?
Oh, it's great, man. I love it, man. Tonight's one of these nights where it's just geek out time. I love it.
Because I have to focus on the game, so, you know.
Listen, I got both. I hear you. I know. I'm mad at them because the series should be over, so I can just concentrate on the draft.
And we should be doing our draft show tonight, following you and Mike and continuing it on tonight. But
I know, brother. I hear you, babe. Listen, enjoy the game. It's going to be a fun
one. Thank you, man.
Thanks, brother. There he is, the great Devon Givens in the post.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, one of the big agents around. In fact, Micah Parsons, he's got Devin Lloyd this year among many. And he's done everything in the business. He worked in personnel for the Bears. He coached at Temple with Matt Rhule. And he's North Philadelphia proud. Andre Odom, veteran of the Meat Locker on the Comcast Business Hotline. Dre!
Man, what's up, man?
Mommy, you get any sleep, buddy?
2 hours.
Hey, give us a little insight, because this is interesting. You know, you went through it last year with some really high-profile guys. Once again, high-profile guys. What's it like for you leading up to the draft when you represent these kids, you know, dealing with certain teams? I'm sure you're in contact with a lot of teams right now.
Yeah, excellent question. I mean, the biggest thing is just making sure that all of your all of your strings are tied, right, for your guys. You know, making sure there's no unknowns, you know, not known, right? Making sure there's nothing at the last minute that comes up, you know, things of that nature. You know, because this is a very, very critical time for these young guys and their families and obviously their circles of influence, et cetera. So, you know, your job is just to make sure that every box is checked, you know, from top to bottom. And, I mean, it can be a daunting task depending on, you know, who the guy is. But when you surround yourself with good people, it kind of makes it a lot easier, if that makes sense. So, you know, it's all about, really all about the guys that you attract and the guys that you decide to partner with and vice versa.
Well, and, you know, again, there's a lot of discrediting and a lot of misinformation, too, that comes out during this period. We're at the anniversary of that Laramie Tunsil, and you saw what he's doing, where he's putting the gas mask up. You know, like, that stuff happens, you know, usually, like, leading up to the draft, the last day or two is when I'm sure you have to be most protective and almost really on call. Like, tell these guys, listen, you know, just lay low, all right, until you don't give anybody any ammunition.
Yeah, I mean, for us, you know, for specifically myself, you know, my biggest thing is just making sure, again, those boxes are checked early. You don't want to wait until the last minute, right, because anything can happen, anything can pop up, you know. So always just, number one, managing your client's expectations, right? Managing their family's expectations, because obviously everyone thinks they're a first-round draft pick, which is understandable, right? I would too, you know, but at the end of the day, you never want to overpromise and underdeliver. So, you know, that segment of it. But then to touch on what you just spoke about in terms of, you know, the red flags, right? And the things that come out of nowhere, you know, again, your job is to make sure you're doing your due diligence, you know, 50 times more than what the teams are, right? So just beating them to the punch, you know, just beating them to every punch that, you know, that's imaginable that they can think of, right? In terms of social media, you know, making sure you're scrubbing their social media accounts and things like that. And just, you know, making sure that they're on point, knowing that, hey, you can't move the way you used to move, right? Like, you're not 18 anymore. You know, now you're 21, 22. You know, you're a man, so you have to be more strategic and, you know, just be knowledgeable and be conscious of, you know, the things and the energy that you put out, right? Because everyone has their eyes on you at this point in time. So we can't make any more mistakes.
We got Andre Odom, the fabulous agent, now with us. And again, you come from a unique standpoint where you coached it. You were in personnel with the Bears. You coached it in college. So you've attacked it from several different ways. How is this, you know, I'm sure that's got to be a good advantage because you know personnel guys. You know, guys that, you know, fit scheme is a big deal. That you could speak scheme as an agent, I would think, would be a big help.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, guys actually gravitate towards that, right? Because when they're talking to someone that knows the business, you know, but also, you know, knows the football side and can actually give them, you know, insight and thought process in terms of, yo, this team would be a great fit because boom, 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 it's more of an outside zone type, you know, scheme that they're running. I think it'd be more advantageous for you to, you know, kind of go to this team. Yada, yada. Like, guys are impressed with that stuff right there because a lot of people, with all due respect, don't possess that skill set, which is fine, obviously, because you can still be successful in this business without it. You know, however, like you said, when you have that, it definitely gives you kind of like a little advantage, you know, in terms of relationship building and things of that nature. So, but, you know, ultimately it comes down to, as you know, it comes down to, you know, people skills, man, and being able to build sustained relationships, and, you know, not just with your players, but even with the front office executives, you know. Like, again, coming from that space, I know a lot of those guys, and I'm blessed with a lot of those relationships. So, you know, I can call those guys and, you know, have those intimate conversations, you know, in terms of business and things of that nature, maybe more so than what any other agent can do, because obviously, you know, I come from that side of the business. I've cut my teeth there, you know, so I know what I'm talking about. So yeah, it definitely gives an advantage, but on both sides, for sure.
So one of your kids, Devin Lloyd, is a fascinating prospect, too. Really terrific linebacker. What's the process today? You know, been like with him, and where do you see kind of going? Obviously, there's a lot of fans. You know, we love defense in Philadelphia, so we would love to see Devin in Philadelphia as well.
Yeah, I mean, Devin was super duper easy because he is a phenomenal young man, right? He's an Army brat. You know, both mom and dad served. Obviously, thank them for their service, et cetera. But, you know, he's just a tremendous kid. He was raised the right way. So I think the toughest part, especially dealing with defensive players, is just making sure that they check the boxes in terms of character issues, right? Because traditionally, with all the respect, defensive players are kind of the guys that, you know, you got to keep your eye on, per se, right? But, you know, a guy like him, you know, it's super easy because, again, he was raised the right way. Much stuff off the field, you know, good kid, yes sir, no sir kind of guy. But more importantly, when you go to the part that matters the most, which is on field, I mean, he's an absolute stud. He checks every single box. You know, obviously, you know, he wanted to do a little bit better, combine, things of that nature. But, I mean, all that's apropos at this point because when you turn the tape on, he's just an absolute monster. He does it all.
He's a football player. And that's the one thing about the combine that I don't like because it doesn't highlight real football players.
Exactly. But we have to remember also, you know, with all the respect, we have a, you know, the game has changed, right? So a lot of these individuals that are making these business decisions in the front office are, you know, with all the respect, more enamored with, you know, the T-shirts and shorts, you know, Olympics, you know, because obviously they want to see how guys move.
Right.
You know, they want to see the fluidity without the pads and stuff like that, which is fine.
Sure.
You know, but ultimately it comes down to when you press play, right? When the ball is snapped, what do you do in between the lines? And that's what I always tell my guys, like, yo, it's not about where you get drafted, man. I promise you it's not. It's about what you do when you get there. So the beautiful thing is it doesn't matter if you're first, it doesn't matter if you're the 32nd pick, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, the 150th pick. The beautiful thing about this business is, man, you still got to go out there and line it up. All of you. So when you do that, then we're going to see who's who.
Dre, what are you hearing? I know a lot of talk like during this period. Do you think, you know, are you curious about, you know, top 10? The quarterbacks is obviously a big deal. Do you expect, it looks like there's not going to be the run on quarterbacks, at least not in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing? Anything there?
Yeah, I mean, you know how it is this time of year. I mean, you hear a ton of things, right? I try not to put too much emphasis on the mock drafts, you know, because obviously there's a lot of smoke screens and there's a lot of people kind of just doing their own thing, right? Which is understandable. It's a fun moment and everyone, you know, wants to project where they think people are going to go. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's all about team needs, right? But then on the flip side of that, it's about, you know, some teams do it the right way, which is drafting the best player available. So, you know, in terms of the quarterbacks, will there be a run on them? I mean, I think it really is just Malik Willis and then just, you know, everybody else. That's just my opinion. You know, although I do love Matt Corral as well, I think Matt Corral will sneak into the first as well. I think they're both two really good quarterbacks. But in terms of, you know, it being a really, really, you know, really strong run at them, I don't foresee that happening. I think this is definitely going to be more of a, you know, defensive draft in terms of the D linemen and, you know, in the corners. But then you'll have the run on receivers, right? And then you'll also have the run on those offensive tackles too. So, and obviously, you know, when you're talking about winning games, you're winning games from end to end on both sides of the ball. So that's why I'm not really too concerned about the quarterbacks, because there's a lot of this, you know, high value talent, you know, on that interior and exterior of the line on both sides of the ball.
Yeah. And there's some good corner, a lot of good corner talent too. I tell you, I love that Sauce, man. He's a player.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love that kid. That's the one that got away, man. I think he's absolutely phenomenal. He's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I think he's going to be a heck of a player in terms of the corner position. Yeah, I think it's more top-heavy than anything else. Just like the receiver class, I think it's really, really top-heavy, right? So, but you'll be able to get, you know, I think you'll be able to get what you're looking for at the receiver and corner position. I don't think you have to really reach for it, though, because there's a lot of good players. A lot of good players, like, as you go towards later in that round, or maybe early second round.
Yeah, there's that's why I could see a lot of trades. I could see a lot of movement. Can you see that today? A lot of trades.
See, the thing is with that, I think it's tough, right? So, for example, someone asked me, "Yo, what would you do with the number one pick?" You know, I mean, obviously that's apropos at this point, but for me, you know, I would trade back. That was the first thing I said. But when you look at it, it's like you can't trade back because no one wants the number one overall pick, right? Because
right. No quarterback. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, so if there's a quarterback who's like the guy, obviously, you know, you'll reach for a quarterback. But you're not reaching for
Or if it's Will Anderson next year.
I mean, no, I'm biased. If it's CJ Stroud next year.
He's awesome.
That's the guy right there next year for sure.
And I love that Will Anderson off the edge rusher from Alabama.
Yeah, I love Will Anderson too. I mean, the only thing with that is, again, right, like you can, there's going to be a lot of edge rushers again next year like there are this year. Like those guys just emerge, you know, out of nowhere seemingly every single year. So, but when you get a chance to find the right trigger man, like a CJ Stroud,
to take. No, without a doubt. Quarterback, listen, that's going to be a good quarterback draft. And I know that the Eagles are looking next year. If Jalen's not the guy, that next year, you know, they're going to find their quarterback. Hey, real quick, Dre, you're a basketball guy. Sixers win game
absolutely.
Six?
We have to. We don't have a choice. We have to go up there. We got to take the part. We got to take it early. You know, we really have to. We got to come out. We got to come out early. We got to come out hard. We cannot let them take our momentum, right? You know, it's one of those things where if we go up there and they're going to go in there and run and we can't withstand it, then we won't win the game. We have to be able to take their best punch and then keep moving. We're the better team. You know, I mean, they definitely have the advantage coaching-wise, all due respect to me. But, you know, we're the most talented team. I think we have the better, you know, chemistry in terms of top to bottom, if that makes sense. But, you know, we got to just find a way, man.
I like it. Dre, listen, have a great day. Best of the kids. And, listen, you do such a great job. I'm so proud.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Goodbye, The Fanatic.
The Geek. Home of the Sharp app, the creator of the Sharp app, the Geek, our fantasy football expert, who's also our draft expert when it comes to betting on the draft.
Is that right?
What do you say there, Geekus?
Hey, cuz. Tune, what's going on, fellas?
You ready, man?
This is, you know, if it's not, you know, the kickoff, this is the next best thing. We've got the NFL draft going tonight. I've been in the basement, just going through the numbers, pouring over the film. You know how we do.
I know. Listen, I know you, and you are like this stuff. You live for this stuff. First of all, you killed it all year with our fantasy expert, giving picks and the whole thing. And now this is perfect because you should. In fact, you should be a GM there, Geek.
I have offered my services to my beloved New York Jets. I think we can do a lot better with a fantasy football mind at the top compared to what we've been doing, but they don't call me back. Nothing.
Nah,
no call back, no rejection, just nothing. It's even worse. Tell me no so I can get rid of my hope, but they don't even tell me no. It's terrible.
I hear you, brother. All right, let me hear you. Let's go through this draft. And what are you thinking? You've analyzed this thing, and you're looking at it from a betting standpoint. What do you got for us?
Yeah, a lot of fun bets. So I've got some what I'm going to call put money in the bank bets, and I've got some long shots. Of course, try to get us a Lambo with some of these long shots. But I think the most basic bet I've come in, I've done this for, I've had this since early on, is over six wide receivers drafted in the first round. We're going to have a historic number of wide receivers go in the first round, and I'm going to give you twofold reasons why. first is there's a lot of teams that are extremely needy at wide receiver. You could see it with Green Bay and KC and just teams even at the back end of the first round that are extremely wide receiver needy. But here's the big one. You know, Christian Kirk goes to the Jaguars, gets paid $84 million. New paradigm at wide receiver is established where even mediocre ones like Christian Kirk apparently command a lot of money. So teams are now looking at that as an even more premium position where you want to get the player in the first round so you could lock up the fifth year. There's a financial incentive to actually squeezing these guys into the first round so you can get 5 years worth of sort of low-cost wide receiver production if it works
Dude,
out.
Dude, that's actually brilliant thinking right there. It's brilliant. And a guy like George Pickens, that's why he goes in the first round.
That's right. And so,
Andy.
He's going to get that eighth guy. I think we might be eight. I'm not even kidding. I think we might break the record. But seven for me is pretty comfortable. And I'm going to piggyback that with a sort of a long shot bet for you. And that's Doctson going to the Packers. Just a straight bet because I really like him to the Packers. Anyway, they have two picks in the first round. I feel like they're going to get him. Jahan Dotson.
Jahan Dotson, we know him well from Penn State.
Yeah, I think he's going to go. I think the Packers will find a way, right, to make it. And it might require.
That's a good pick. I like that.
Now I've got some. I got an extreme long shot for you guys. Listen, this isn't expected to happen, but I'm leaving myself two out on a plus 4,000. Malik Willis goes pick number two overall. Now, again, we're talking about this is to win the Lambo. This is the pizza money, right? We're having a little fun with it. But listen, even if the Lions don't take him themselves, is it possible? We never know. QB, teams are really quiet about it. He's clearly the only kind of quarterback, I think. He's not that great, but he seems to be the best of them.
And well, he's got the most upside.
He's got the fantasy upside. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I know. Right? You love your fantasy quarterbacks. Yes. You're a leg man.
He's got the legs.
Yes.
I love the legs. So, I actually think he's not that dissimilar from a certain local QB that is helming the Eagles. But as far as plus 4,000, Malik Willis, second pick overall, plus 4,000, 10 bucks gets you 400.
That's
a long shot. And the Lions could trade out of the spot. The Lions could take him. They need a quarterback. But they could also trade out to a team that needs to move up to get him. So I like that as a little bit of a crazy long shot play for tonight. And I'll give you a couple other ones that I really love. Take a shot on Derek Stingley going third overall to Houston. They really like him.
Yeah, I was hoping he would fall a little bit.
He might. If Houston doesn't take him, he will. Then Sauce Gardner will go first. The other team seems to like Sauce a little bit more as the first cornerback. Stingley, though, if he doesn't go third, he'll drop, and he might be there hanging out, available, particularly for the Eagles if that's the way they want to go. Another one I really like here is Jameson Williams, first wide receiver taken. Surprise.
Really?
Shocker. Not that big of a shocker. But you're getting almost plus 300 odds. I think Jameson Williams is the best wide receiver in this draft.
So I thought Wilson. I like Wilson. I thought, well, I know, well, I will tell you this. I talked to a couple of personnel guys that rank it Wilson, Williams, London, then Olave.
I love the grouping. Wilson is the prohibitive favorite to go first. That's why we're getting plus 300 odds.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to pay minus 170 for the odds. In the draft, we've got to take our shots. Like, this is not because surprises happen way more than the odds reflect. So we're much better off just rolling the dice with, you know, the second guy. That's why I'm looking at Stingley over Sauce, and that's with Williams. I think Jameson Williams is a game changer. Wilson's great too. Listen, I like these wide receivers. I love this class. I like seven or more, eight of them going in the first round. Wow. Really, so I'm down with that. But Wilson is the prohibitive favorite.
All right, you got to tell me the give me the NBA pick, and then tell me about the Sharp app, please, because I know there's a lot of people out here, all right?
I promised the people an NBA underdog, and I've got one for you. So we're going with the Pelicans tonight, and you could take them on the money line.
You like plus the Pels, huh?
Just take the points plus 2.5. Our model loves them. And let me tell you just real quick about what we've been doing with the Sharp app. Obviously, the Sharp app is a sports betting advice platform, and we have an article / video we put out every day called Top Props. Totally free. This thing is up, and we look at prop bets. We're using the DFS Army model to compare to top props, and then we have John, our resident gambling expert, kind of sift through and pick out the 6 or 7 best NBA props each night. That's up 100 units. 100
wow, that's
units
great. That's
in the
awesome.
Last month and a half.
All right, so it's a free app. This is awesome. The Sharp app, make sure you download it. Go to the App Store and download this bad boy.
Yes, if you want to bet props, just grab it. Check out the Top Props article
every
day.
Genius.
We're up 100 units.
All right, you're the main. I need more of you in the off season. All right?
I love to be on anytime. I love it.
All right, Geek. We love you, buddy. Take care, pal.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.